Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this Saturday morning. I'm so glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 right here on WLIW 88.3 FM and online at WLIW.org. Each show is archived on my website at AnneLiguori.com and distributed on podcasts. Well, I spent the week in southwest Oregon at Bandon Dunes, a mecca for golf with six very different golf course offerings. The golf resort spreads out on breathtaking property that sits on the edge of Oregon's beautiful, dramatic coastline. And as a newcomer here, just the grandeur of the rugged coastline continually amazed. The way the golf course architects designed the courses in tune with the natural land and environment makes for a truly inspirational, uplifting experience. True to the traditions of golf, Bandon Dunes is a walking course only. And it's not for the faint of heart. To play all six courses in several days was both exhilarating, strenuous, and a wonderful challenge. Every course is so very different. The Bandon Dunes course, designed by Scotsman David McClay Kidd, was the first to open back in 1999. With expansive views of the ocean on every hole, this original layout turned out to be my favorite of the six golf courses here. I mean, they are all so great, it's hard to pick your favorite, but I love the par three holes offering some of the most gorgeous views against the Pacific Ocean backdrop that you'll ever see. From the par three six with the green that sits majestically on the edge of the coastline, the par three 12th, nestled amongst the dunes on the edge of the coast, the par 3 15th. Each hole is just prettier and more challenging than the next, depending on the wind. The dramatic par 4 16th, with the fairway going over the edge of a cliff with the coastline lining the right of the hole, is just very memorable. I love my tee box on the 17th hole, the par 4, tucked around a very unique-looking cypress tree amongst the gorse and native vegetation. Pacific Dunes, designed by Tom Doak, opened in 2001 and provides a different kind of challenge on the undulating fairways and the high sand dunes. The back-to-back par 3s on holes 10 and 11 were definitely a highlight. The par 5 12th, the par 4 13th, and another par 3 on the 14th is just a spectacular sequence of holes along the coastline. Bandon Trails opened in 2005 and was designed by Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw. This is Pine Valley near the ocean and features a layout through three different ecosystems, the dunes, the meadows, and the forest. Just incredible. Old MacDonald was designed by Tom Doak and Jim Herbina, paying homage to the legendary golf architect Charles Blair MacDonald. With wide undulating links fairways and vast greens, this was a treat to play. Almost had a hole-in-one on the par 4 third hole from the tee box that sits 217 yards away. A tap-in eagle putt there made this course even more memorable for me. The property where Sheep Ranch is, the latest offering at Bandon Dunes, it opened in June 2020, used to be a wind farm back in the 70s. And Michael Kaiser, the owner of Bandon Dunes, and his partner Phil Friedman bought the land in 2000, and the property sat vacant for more than 15 years. A Bill Corr, Ben Crenshaw masterpiece, this course is another stunner with 1 mile of ocean frontage and nine greens right on the edge and stunning views of the Pacific on every hole. And don't forget the Bandon Preserve course. That's the 13-hole par 3 course. It opened in 2012, and there's a view of the Pacific Ocean on every hole. It was so much fun to play. Such a great test for your short game. And all net proceeds from play on this par 3 course goes to the Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, which supports conservation, community, and the economy on the southern Oregon coast. Well, this morning you'll hear all the details about this Bandon Dunes property and all the courses here with special guest Jeff Simons, the Director of Resort Operations, Ken Nice, the Director of Agronomy, and General Manager Don Crow. I hope you enjoy learning about this special golf destination. Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, patented Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, PEAKVision.com. and by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or spot in timeless pieces for men and women. Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com.
Hi, this is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to 88.3 WLIW-FM, Long Island's only NPR station.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and my guest is Jeff Simons, Director of Resort Operations here at Bandon Dunes in Southwest Oregon. And Jeff, welcome to Sports Interview.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me on.
So, Jeff, you've been at Bandon Dunes for over 15 years. You've done it pretty much everything from golf ops to golf shop assistant, head pro at Pacific Dunes, director of golf, director of resort operations. So I think you just are going to be a lifelong Bandon Dunes guy, right?
Yeah, that's been the goal for a long time. And as the resort continues to grow and develop, I've been fortunate to be able to do that myself.
Good for you. So the courses are just, I was talking to the agronomist, Ken, and they're all so different. And that, I think when you play it for the first time, like I did this trip, that's what strikes me, to have, you know, six different courses here, all so very different, right? You have the Bandon Dunes, that was the original in 99, Pacific Dunes in 2001, Bandon Trails, which is more meadows and forests with a few dunes holes, Old MacDonald, which is Lynx, and Sheep Ranch, the newest addition. Talk a little bit about, if you could go back to each of the six different courses, and Bandon Preserve is the par 3 13-hole course, and just talk about some of the highlights hole-wise on each of the golf courses.
Absolutely. First of all, with the different mixture of golf courses, one of the great things you have with Mike Kaiser choosing different architects is they're competitive themselves. So they make sure that they build a golf course that is different and stands out, even though it's right next to each other on property. But when you're on Bandon Dunes, you've got, most people, it's kind of their first time in a Lynx golf setting. So, you know, you're learning that ground game. You've got bunkers that are hidden or pot bunkers. You've got little swells that will collect balls. So it's really great. Everything's right there in front of you. There's really not a bad hole in the golf course. And then if you jump over to Pacific Dunes, which opened in 2001, Tom Doak got in there and really just kind of built this masterpiece that is not this 7,200-yard championship golf course. It plays right around 6,700 yards from the back tees. But everything is just big and blown out bunkers, and you've got this absolutely breathtaking views that are trying to detract you from your golf game. And it's look over here and look what I've got here, and, you know, giant sand dunes. So it's really incredible. You mentioned Bandon Trails with the different ecosystems, and you start in the sand dunes and you go through the meadow and you go into the forest. So you're on an 18-hole journey, basically, and the golf course conditions-wise are the same, but you're getting different visuals throughout, and the wind will affect you differently, so you're constantly adjusting. You know, Old MacDonald, in my opinion, is just about as much fun as you can have on a golf course. It's big, it's wide, everything's expansive. It's one of those opportunities you can hit your ball, find it, hit it again. You may not always like where it is, but you're not going to lose a golf ball out there. Bandon Preserve is probably the most fun you can have on golf. It's 13 picturesque par threes that each one of them on their own could work in a regulation 18-hole golf course, and we just happen to have a collection of 13 of them in a row. So it's fantastic. You just need a couple clubs, and you can go out there and foursome and eightsome and just have a lot of fun. Then you've got Sheep Ranch, which opened this year, and it's been an incredible addition to the resort. One of the things that's very challenging while you're out there is, again, to focus on the golf. You see so much beautiful ocean and vistas. You've got 9 holes right on the coastline with a mile of western coast. And you keep coming back to the ocean, and you sit there and think to yourself, like, this is the best hole in the golf course. And then 2 holes later, now this might be the best hole in the golf course. And you just kind of forget what your score is and what par is because you're so captivated by your setting and who you're playing with. You get to 18, and you're kind of surprised you've played 18 holes already. So it's been a great addition, And like you mentioned, every golf course is different out here.
That's a great synopsis, Jeff, because I was taking a lot of pictures, and just when you think you've seen the signature hole on any given course, you get to the next hole, and it's just incredible. So can you say that there are signature holes out here? And if so, which ones would you pick, the ones that win the most awards?
I certainly think the 16th hole at Bandon Dunes is probably the most iconic or recognizable picture of Bandon Dunes. It's certainly been utilized in a lot of different media forums, and it's a photo we like to share often as well. But, you know, if you had a panel of photographers, they're all going to find some different hole among the property and utilize that as their kind of hero shot. And that's what we love, is that there's not one golf course that is better than the others. There's not one hole that's more picturesque than the others. You know, there's so many different tastes that people have. We're like a box of crayons. We've got a color for everyone.
I love it. You definitely are like a box of crayons here. It's just so, it's such a great canvas, and it's an artist's dream. It certainly is. Now, I know Bandon Dunes has a rich history of hosting USGA championships. So can you talk about some of the championships that have been here?
Absolutely. Our first championship was in 2006, and we hosted the Curtis Cup over at Pacific Dunes, and it was just a really exciting event. You've got the best female American player amateurs versus the best amateurs from Great Britain and Ireland, and it was really a great match. The U.S. came victorious, and it really kind of gave us a taste of what it's like to host a USGA championship, but it was kind of a smaller size because you're just talking about 24 players. The following year, we hosted the U.S. Mid-Amateur Championship at Bandon Dunes and Bandon Trails. And again, just some great competition, great players, really kind of more of our core guests because they're outside of the college age student. And that was just a wonderful championship. Trip Keeney won that, and it went out perfectly. It was a couple years later, we hosted the Men's and Women's Public League Championships at the same time. So we real quickly kind of jumped out there and said, you know, what's that next level? And we hosted two championships at the same time over at Old MacDonald Abandoned Trails. So those were fantastic. Of course, those championships have since been retired by the USGA, and they created two new championships, both the Women's Four-Ball Championship and then the Amateur Four-Ball Championship. And we've hosted both of those events as well. In 2015, we hosted the inaugural Women's Four-Ball Championship. That was back over at Pacific Dunes. Again, phenomenal golf played by the ladies over there. And then in 2019, we had the fifth U.S. Amateur Four-Ball Championship at Old MacDonald. And then this year, we were very fortunate. We were able to still play the 120th U.S. Amateur Championship. That was at Bandon Dunes and Bandon Trails. The golf was fantastic. The coverage on TV was great. The only thing that was missing this year were the fans, and that was because of COVID-19. So we were thrilled to still be able to have that experience for the players. Tyler Strafosky won it on the 36th hole of a phenomenal final match, and it was about as good as we could ask for.
I guess it just televises beautifully, right? When you can't ask for a better layout, you know, when it comes to spreading the word on TV as far as imagery goes, and the ocean views and the dunes and the variety on the trails course.
Yeah, it's really great. The combination of what, is NBC Golf Channel that had the telecast this year, and from aerial photography and then just moving around, you know, it's not trying to figure out what holes we put on. It's, man, how do we make sure we get every hole? And I think they really enjoy being out here and being, A, in the month of August, it's, you know, 65, 70 degrees, so they're not overheated. And then you just have so much to work with. You've got great holes, you've got great golf, and you've got a lot of different room to move around. So
how did the relationship with the USGA transpire? There's been so many tournaments, as you described, so many championships here.
It really starts with Mike Kaiser, our owner, and he's always been a big proponent of amateur golf and the amateur game. He considers the U.S. Amateur kind of that fifth major in golf. And then it carries down from there with Kemper Sports and Josh Lesnick, who's the president of Kemper Sports. He was our first general manager, and he kind of helped pave the way of getting these events here and championships here. And from there, it's just been Bandon Dunes and the entire staff fostering that relationship, but also just making sure that when we host these championships, they're not afterthoughts. They're a highlight of our summer or a highlight of our year. We're excited to get the players here to compete. We're excited to get the golf courses, you know, dialed in and really watch the best amateur golfers in the world compete on Lynx Golf, because again, you don't see that all the time, and it's just a lot of fun.
7 championships in a 14-year span, that's a lot, really, on all amateur championships, and it's such a pure golf destination. It's a perfect place. You have a lot of accommodations, you have the restaurants, the cuisine, and all the golf, and the variety of golf. So it's so different every time you host this, you know, depending on what courses you choose.
It really is, and that's what makes it kind of a one-stop shop, is we can have players here on site, the USGA can stay on site. You know, once you get here, you don't have to go anywhere. And that's what you've experienced yourself is, you know, you get to the Southern Oregon coast and you get out to Bannon Dunes and you kind of park your car and you don't need it till you leave. And it just makes it easy. And that's what we're trying to do.
Any talk of hosting any professional tournaments here?
You know, not really. Again, our kind of core golfer is that amateur golfer. And, you know, I'm sure there's probably been conversations that have been had at different levels, but nothing that's come to any kind of real dialogue.
Right. I know, as far as spectators, what a great walk would be for spectators. And it probably comes down to, you know, hotel rooms. If you're going to have the spectators that you'd have for a major championship, you'd probably need a lot more hotel rooms in the neighboring areas. And you don't want to kind of change, you know, what Southwest Oregon's all about, right? We kind of like it the way it is, so stick to the amateur game, right?
Exactly. We're fine for that for right now.
So what's next for you, Jeff? I mean, you've had all these different positions. Do you have anything that you'd like to do here that you haven't yet done?
No, I've really enjoyed my career here and being able to grow and develop at the resort. And, you know, as far as what's next, I'm not sure. The kind of the big thing right now is focusing on the end of 2020 and looking ahead to 2021. And we've got a lot more guests that are annual visitors that haven't seen Sheep Ranch yet. So we still have a lot more people to kind of see their eyes light up like a Christmas tree, and we'll see where that goes.
Is there a favorite in your mind as far as golf course that you would play more than any other?
It changes. So after being here for 17 years, Pacific Dunes used to be my favorite. Kind of Bannon Dunes is in that category now. It's really probably the golf course that I have played the least in the last little bit. It becomes my favorite because I'm so excited to get out there and see it and see what I've missed.
Right. What do you like about Sheep Ranch?
For me, it's really just kind of seeing the views. And after being here for so long and having the linear coastline, to get out to holes like number 6 or number 17 and have these opportunities to hit over the cliff or see the ocean kind of come up inside, it's just so much of a different look that it doesn't get old yet.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Boise, Idaho.
Okay, so you're kind of like a west kind of guy, right? Western United States kind of guy. So this just magical landscape is something that you're somewhat used to?
Yeah, I would say I'm certainly used to it. I'm not tired of it, and it's one of those that it's easy to talk about and easy to try and share with other people.
Right. Idaho is gorgeous. I know that's a little different, a lot different than Oregon, but coming from the eastern part of the United States, it's so different from a topography standpoint, and it's very dramatic, and it's a welcome trip for people from all over, right? Not just West Coast, but people from the East Coast of the United States.
Absolutely. The term, you know, the rugged Oregon coast gets thrown around a lot. And I think once people get out here and they see the sea stacks out in the ocean and the cliff edge is very unrefined. And really our beaches are quite empty because of the temperature and the temperature of the ocean. You're not going to be out there sunning in the sand. So it just has this really rugged look to it. In most areas, you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't get that visual of just kind of openness and expansiveness. So.
When I first saw those massive rocks in the ocean, that is just so unique for anybody coming from, you know, the opposite coast. But one of the other things, Jeff, that really hits you when you come here is the hospitality and how friendly everybody is. And it's a natural friendliness. They just everybody's just so nice here.
Well, I'm glad you're getting that experience as well. I certainly would agree with you, and again, that starts with our ownership and then our leadership, and our general manager, Don Crow, who you'll be talking with, is just really sets the tone day in and day out. But the other aspect of it is, you know, we're in rural Oregon, and you can't just put up a help wanted sign in the window and get a whole bunch of people to get here. So the staff we get have been here for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, and then the new staff we add, it's a place that they really want to come and work. And so it's the culture that they get into, and they enjoy being here. And so when you're here, you know, whether it's 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, you know, you're coming here every day because you want to be here, and it's fun to be able to service our guests that are traveling from all over the world and really kind of share this incredible golf adventure with them.
What do you think, obviously, the people help make this such a great experience, but what would you say is the secret to the resort's success so far?
You know, our goal is to try and really say yes to our guests. You know, you're here on vacation, you're here on a bucket list trip, you're here on a buddy's trip. Usually the requests that are made to, you know, whatever it is to do are pretty reasonable, and we try and find a way to say yes. And the one thing we know is not everyone does a golf trip the same way, so we try to evaluate that and figure out, you know, how can our staff go that extra mile to make sure that your trip is as special to you as you're trying to make it.
Because I know you were a head pro, and so I'm sure taught a lot, right? We haven't talked about the instruction here, and there's a huge range and short game area, and obviously the putting, practice putting area, and the punch bowl, which we haven't talked about. Talk a little bit about instruction here at Bandon Dunes.
The majority of our instruction is all centered around, you know, how to hit the links shots and how to play links golf. It's flighting the ball down in the wind. It's being able to hit that bump and run shot. Our greens are really big, so, you know, how do you lag that putt? So that's the majority of our lessons. You know, a lot of people treat their trip here kind of like it's their U.S. Open. So most of their game improvement, you know, how's my swing look? What does my grip need to do? They're doing that with their local professional before they come out here. And it's really just kind of the emergency lessons. You know, if someone gets that dreaded S word happening in their game and that ball's going off the hosel, they'll call and say, I need that lesson. Otherwise, it's, you know, how am I going to hit these link shots? How can I help really improve my score out there from a very simplistic form? And we do that. We've got a lot of great golf professionals here that are ready to help as well.
And give me a good tip for all those listening who are going to be playing links golf. What do they need to think about?
The first thing would just be leaving the sand wedge in your bag unless you're in the sand. And the putter is so easy to use off the green, whether you're 40 or 50 yards away, something like that, or even just a hybrid with a bump and run is going to be a trick to help you out there.
I love it. Leave the sandwich in the bag. It's all about the putting. It really is all about putting. Jeff Simons, Director of Resort Operations here at Bandon Dunes, thank you so much, and continued success.
Thanks, Ann.
Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, patented Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, peakvision.com. And by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or spot in timeless pieces for men and women. Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Ken Nice, who's the Director of Agronomy here at Bandon Dunes. We're in Southwest Oregon, and what an experience it has been for me to play all six golf courses here for the very first time. I'm so happy that I've gotten out here, Ken, and I have a lot of questions for you, and so impressed with what you and your team have been able to accomplish here. And I know you were involved in the construction of most of the courses here. And they're all so memorable, and what surprised me the most is just how different each course is.
Yeah, I mean, everything, the design principles vary slightly from course to course, and a lot of that is based on just the topography of the courses themselves. So I think what people really see is what the natural features were prior to construction have a great influence on the end product of each of the courses.
So you've worked with all the architects, which I just think must have been some remarkable experience, right? I know you came in When Bandon Dunes was being built, David McLay Kidd, the Scotsman, designed that one. Then Pacific Dunes was the next one in 2001. Tom Doak, Bandon Trails, Bill Core, Ben Crenshaw, built in 2005. Just played that today. Boy, was that challenging. Old MacDonald, where I had an eagle, thank you very much, on the third hole, the par four third. Tom Doak and Jim Urbina designed Old MacDonald, and then Bill Core and Ben Crenshaw came back just recently to do Sheep Ranch. So tell me, what was it like to work with all these different architects?
You know, it's obviously a true blessing to have had the opportunity to work with Tom Doak, Bill Core, Ben Crenshaw, David, Jim Urbina, especially, you know, all these guys. And each one of them has a slightly different take on how they go about their craft. Me as an agronomist, a turf guy, a soil guy, kind of integrating in with some of their design principles. But more than anything, I think been able to be a witness to some of the masters in the modern architecture game. And it's amazing what kind of information, what you glean off of just going through the process with each of them, where you start to kind of see the vision that is there, that kind of unfolds and takes place as the creative process goes on.
And what do you think you learn from them? I mean, they're also different, and they bring different experiences, you know, to golf. What are some of the things you might have learned from some of these architects?
I think probably the greatest thing with Bandon Dunes, because the one common link to all the architects at Bandon Dunes is working with the natural features, what the land, the character of the land that was presented prior to construction. And all the architects at Bandon Dunes work in a kind of a seamless manner in terms of trying to integrate the landscape with the golf versus imposing some strong will on a piece of property that it doesn't fit, you know. So I think just having that kind of that graceful process of integrating into natural features and working with the land and being kind of at harmony with it while at the same time creating these great golf courses in terms of a playability standpoint. Those are, I think, some of the big take homes. After that, it gets into, you know, a lot of subtleties in terms of shapes and what a good shape looks like versus a bad shape and what fits your eye and what doesn't. You start to become fully aware of that. One thing I should also add, all these architects, as great as they are, they're very willing to, one, solicit input and also to be open-minded to somebody else's take. So it's not a closed-minded process. There is a collaborative point to it. Certainly Mike Kaiser has had a big influence with all the architects. He has put his thumbprint on all these courses from a design standpoint as well. So it's not just the architects, our owner Mark Kaiser, and then the shapers that come in also have a lot of voice to each of the architects. And I think what you see is, you know, with the architects here, with Tom, with Bill, with Ben, with Jim Urbina, David, is that they're kind of the end facilitator of all of this and synthesize it together to create these great processes. But it's very much a learning process and a collaborative process as it goes on through the creation.
Sure, I'm sure it is. And it would have to be, obviously, there's so many different personalities, as you say, involved. And then, as you say, six different courses in harmony with the natural environment. And what a natural environment it is. I mean, from, you know, the dunes to the meadows to the forests. I mean, talk about the property. It's just a dream property.
Well, I think that, and I don't know whether Don or Jeff will allude to it, but, you know, we have a plaque on by 14T of Bandon Trails. And I don't know if you saw that plaque, but it basically talks about Mike Kaiser's first visit to Bandon Dunes when he first saw the property, and Shorty Dow showed him around and all that. But I just think that was the beginning. It was like Mr. Kaiser saw the potential of this property when he first saw it. And so after that, you know, things just kind of start to fall in place, especially with the amazing, talented architects that he then brought in to work with the land.
So talk a little bit about the greens, because I know that you're working with Fescue and you're working with Poa Anna, right? And I just thought the greens on Bandon Dunes were absolutely perfect. So, and the greens were a little different on the various golf courses, but talk a little bit about the greens and how challenging it might be to maintain them throughout the various seasons here.
I think that's one of our big challenges, is that we're a 365, you know, day a year open project. And that challenge of just day in and day out golf is a challenge. You know, the winters, although mild here, growth rate still slows down quite a bit, and we continue to have all that golf. So one of the reasons that three of the courses are basically POA annual greens is kind of a direct result of that. You know, when you have such high play volume throughout the year, it's and we're in kind of a climate where POA transition is pretty much the norm. It thrives in this climate. So, but the Fescue greens hang in there for a long time, and so Old Mac and Sheep Ranch are pure Fescue greens, and they require actually less maintenance than the POA does. So they're a bit more stable in that regard, but over time, then POA starts to take over a bit.
I gotta tell you, the greens were just incredible, and you know, subtle breaks, a lot of slopes depending on which course you're playing, and it was just very tricky. I think every course kind of offered those challenging greens, but from a seasonal standpoint, what kind of climate do you get here throughout the various seasons?
It's just very moderate. Rare, you know, we get into the 70s in the summer some, but not in the high 70s, and we really have very few frosts during the winter. So, you know, I did a presentation, and I'll throw out this stat, but our the months here only vary by about 13 degrees in terms of the average highs and lows, you know. So winter versus summer is not hugely different, versus some areas of the country where, you know, it's an 80, 90 degree shift between winter and summer. We're more like a 15 degree shift.
Right.
So it's very moderate, and that's one of the reasons that POA does so well here, and why we can grow POA greens and maintain them the way we do.
What's your biggest challenge as the director of agronomy here at Bandon Dunes?
In the end, it comes down to having a great team of people that you're working with, and so personnel becomes one of the major factors. And you know, we have I think close to 115 staff on the agronomy team. Coordinating that over 6-7 golf courses, it has its challenges. Also coordinating equipment needs with the various golf courses. So a lot of it's logistics and just relationships with the people that you work with. I'm obviously fortunate that it's an amazing team of people I work with day in, day out, and they all do a marvelous job, and they're a joy to work with.
And what would you say when somebody asks you to talk about links conditions and what makes a true links course, what do you tell them?
I would say the first element is sand, that all of these great links golf courses have one common thread, and that's sandy soils. They drain well. You can have a lot more of those undulations and contours that in maybe a heavy soiled situation would hold water. In our case, water passes through. Sand helps keep things firmer. Drier conditions, regardless of what time of year. You know, we don't see mud. If you notice, there's no ball washers on any of the tees. Well, how often did you really have to clean your ball? You really don't. And then I think after sand, then grass varieties become a very big part. Fescue is certainly a main one. And, you know, the fairways here are all fescue. There's very little POA on any of the fairways. And so that low fertility, low growth rate, coupled with sandy conditions, creates ball roll and bounce and being able to play contours. Knowing that you have the aerial option always, just like any other golf course, but you also have this ground option to be be able to play off a contour, be able to putt from well off the green. So that's certainly another characteristic of it. The ocean has an element to it, but I think more than anything, it's sand and turf varieties that create that. And then the maintenance style. Kind of rambling here, but you know, we try to keep our fertility really low, and we're trying to basically grow our turf conditions so that they can hold up to foot traffic, hold up to maintenance traffic, but we don't want to encourage excessive growth because that slows down the surface. So you just really want to have a growth rate that's controlled to where you're not growing turf at any higher rate than you need to. So, you know, if you really wanted to fertilize heavy and really push growth rate, you also get slow, soft conditions. The two kind of follow in that direction.
Such a fine line, you know, especially with, you know, whether you get rain or a lot of sun, you know, with the climate. But I'm sure you are being somewhat modest as far as you and your team and all the accolades that you've gotten in the golf world. You know, you've been leaders in water conservation, pollution prevention, waste management, wildlife and habitat conservation. So I congratulate you and your team for getting so many. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, you have to really think about all these different areas.
You know, first of all, Mike Kaiser and the Kaisers, the environmental aspect, being environmental stewards is hugely important to the organization. So we certainly, you know, we're all in on that. It's a huge team effort to do all, you know, habitat enhancement, you know, working with Audubon. And then, you know, environmental management of just monitoring water situations, you know, all that goes into it. But it's a huge team effort, and everybody buys into it. I also think that, again, coming back to Lynx Golf, Lynx Golf is very environmentally sound in the fact that we're really trying to limit our inputs, to not apply anything that's excessive. Really want to just apply things at the optimal level and have very little waste involved. So that low growth rate, again, is environmentally sustainable because you eliminate the worry from runoff or leaching or anything excessive in the soil. You're just basically trying to apply fertilizer at a rate where the plant can use what it needs and there's nothing excessive about it.
And I know the logo of Band and Preserve is one of a perennial, right, that you're trying to preserve here on these grounds. Talk a little bit about that.
That's Silvery Phacelia, and it's an endangered dune plant. And over the years, when European beech grass was introduced to the area by the Army Corps of Engineers, basically to stabilize the sand drifts on 101, mm-hmm. Well, that it certainly had done a good job of doing that, but at the same time, European beech grass starts to close in all these open sand dunes, and it takes away some of the habitat of plants like Silvery Phacelia that naturally occur in the dunes here. So our mission here is to make sure that the habitat is sustained by eliminating beech grass where we need to, propagating more Silvery Phacelia, really trying to kind of get that plant into a more robust population. And it actually, once you give it the habitat that it wants, it starts to do it on its own. It's just a matter of making sure that we keep that habitat in order. And so gorse, European beech grass, some of these exotics that have been brought in over the years certainly hurt the habitat of some of these native dune plants.
And I know proceeds from the preserve, which is the 13-hole par 3 course, which is amazing. I played that the first day I got here. Proceeds from that for those who play that course are donated to the Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, which I think is another great initiative, you know, and shows how much Abandoned Dunes and the people here are really trying to, you know, help not only the environment, but the community and various initiatives.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Works on the triple bottom line is the principle on it. And so it has to have sound economics to the project, community-based and environmentally sound. So those three elements need to be part of any donations that are made or grants given to our local areas. And it really covers a big region from basically California up to Coos Bay, Coos County, so all the rivers along that stretch.
Are you from this area?
I'm from Corvallis, which is in the middle of the Willamette Valley. It's the home of Oregon State University. So it's about a three and a half hour drive from Bandon to home.
And I understand you also coach high school basketball?
I do. I've had 16 seasons at Bandon High School.
Wow.
I coached the girls varsity for 6 years, the boys varsity for 7 years, and then I resigned because the Sheep Ranch we were under construction and I was the project manager and it was just too much. And then after 2 years of a break, our director of caddy services, Vince Quattrocci, who was the JV coach with me, he got the head job. And so the old assistant and I, who also happens to be the town barber, we came back to help Vince. So I got to be an assistant and kind of work in practices, develop players. And we had a good season the first year back. So we got to the state tournament again. And so... it was a successful year coming back, but it was nice not being the head coach. We didn't have a lot of the other little extraneous stuff. Just got the coach.
Wow, multi-talented, multi-dimensional. You're project managing, you know, the build of Sheep Ranch, which opened in the summer, June 2020, and you're coaching these high school kids. I just love that story. So, what was it like being at the forefront of the latest opening here, Sheep Ranch?
It was a special, the opportunity to work with Bill Kaur, Ben Crenshaw, Mike Kaiser, Phil Friedman in that capacity in a real involved day-to-day way. Tremendous gift. So, I mean, other than being thankful and saying that it was an amazing process and very proud of the end result, and then obviously just the opportunity to spend that kind of quality time with such good people for 2 years developing the project, that's probably what it comes down to. You know, it's the relationships that you take away from those kinds of things.
Sure, I'm sure you went through, you know, ups and downs and just a tremendous amount of work. And you're talking about just a mile of ocean frontage for the Sheep Ranch course itself with 9 green sites on the ocean. Just unbelievable. You don't get that in Ireland. You don't get that in Scotland where you think you would get it because so many links courses, you know, the birthplace of golf in Scotland and so many links courses right on the water in the UK. And yet here in the United States is where you come to get that many holes on the ocean front.
Yeah, the routing at the Sheep Ranch, I mean, I got the opportunity to kind of watch that process, and really Bill Kaur wandered around that property for 3-4 days just kind of on his own, you know, wandering in every direction, and then all of a sudden he comes up with some, I think I got a pretty good idea, you know, on the routing, so really it starts from that initial routing and how... One, it's not a real big property, and at the same time, it feels big when you're playing it.
Yeah.
And part of that was, you know, we have these consolidated tees. So a lot of that tee space is consolidated, and it opens up these angles to big fairways. So you'd never know it was that small of a footprint. And then his ability to get all those greens on the ocean was amazing. So I think there's a brilliance to the routing that started it all, and then obviously after that the construction and the shaping and the character of the place.
Ken, thank you so much. This has been really enlightening, and it's just a pleasure to get to know you, and now that I've played these golf courses, just it's just been wonderful to kind of pick your brain about some of the agronomy subjects that go hand in hand with all the courses here. I really have enjoyed my experience, Ken, and continued success.
If history has told us anything, the election will be decided by just a few states. We'll look at what's happening on the ground in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and beyond. That's next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour.
Sunday night at 11.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori as I continue my show from Band in Dunes in Southwest Oregon. And joining me now is the general manager here at Band in Dunes, Don Crow. Don, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much.
Now, you were here in the very beginning, in the early days of Band in Dunes, before all these other golf courses became a reality. So what was it like in the very beginning?
It was incredible. I got the opportunity to come out from Chicago in late 1998 before we opened in May of 1999. It was so special. So proud to be a part of the opening team.
And so what was it like when you first came out here?
Quiet. I had arrived in the lodge that we're sitting in right now, didn't have a second story or a roof, and we all figured out how to put this together. It was a blank sheet of paper. I was able to set up the hotel and the food and beverage department. And it went from there.
And the course wasn't built yet, the first one, Band in Dunes?
Band in Dunes was well underway. So there was preview play and the golf team and Josh Lesnick, our general manager from Kemper Sports, he's now president. He was out entertaining and we all worked at it together.
Wow, that must have been quite the experience because you're a Chicago guy, right, from the Midwest. And coming out here, it's just a totally different topography.
Completely different. I love the climate, the people, the culture. Much, much different than Chicago. This is heaven.
It is heaven. I mean, when you know somebody from the East Coast comes out here and sees, you know, the huge vistas and the mammoth rocks and the ocean and such a variety of the topography out here. It's very different from the East Coast.
If you like outdoors, this is the place. Our rivers and people love to camp and mountain bike and fishing and hiking and so many great things to do. Of course, world-class golf, but there's a lot to do in Oregon.
Absolutely. Just clean air, fresh air, and that just the smell of that ocean, the Pacific, is just so wonderful. So then you left for a little bit, stayed with Kemper Sports, and then came back in 2017. And what was your reaction when you actually saw all the new courses and all that had transpired from the early days?
I was wowed. I certainly watched it from afar for all those years, but stayed within the company, went to various states. But when my predecessor, Hank, retired and I had the opportunity to come back, it was a very quick yes. My family and I said, yeah, we're in.
And so many now, 6 golf courses and people coming from all over the world. And what I love about it is it's a pure golf experience. And there are no homes on the property. It's not a real estate, you know, combined golf resort like so many other properties around the country. And, you know, you're here for golf. And the cuisine, really, I thought, is very, very good.
We have a great culinary team. Our chef was promoted to food and beverage director after 18 years this past year, and now our executive chef moved up. So the team is really excited. We get to bring in all fresh products from Oregon and certainly the Pacific Northwest. So it's a home run.
It's a home run because of we have all the seafood and you know, all the produce out here. I mean, everything is just so fresh. Talk a little bit about the restaurants and some of the food offerings.
Well, the lodge, our original building here, is a great place. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, very nice place to come for dinner in the evening. And you'll find anything from a fresh-caught piece of halibut or steelhead or salmon. And then you can also go over to the pub, a little bit more casual. We have our famous meatloaf. There's pizza, crispy oysters. Pacific Dunes over at Pacific Grill has more seafood, and you'll also find a chop on that menu. And then another great experience is the Bannon Trails restaurant, and that's Pacific Fusion. So you'll find there's almost a slant towards an Asian fusion. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, the variety with the cuisine is as different as the variety of the golf courses, which I found, you know, just a strong plus here.
Mr. Kaiser has led the way for us and has given us the opportunity to work on that, and he certainly is a significant part of the golf, but he also allows us to work with Chris Kaiser and Michael as well, but to work with the restaurants and offer the different types of cuisine.
And talk about the number of rooms you have here and the different space.
We have 186 rooms currently, 372 beds. We are in construction right now with another 24 more rooms, which will be 40 beds. And those will open up on roughly sometime in June of this coming year. So they look great. Beautiful view of both Bannon Trails and it sits on a body of water.
Yeah, I saw them going up on Bannon Trails. I was playing Bannon Trails earlier today. And what about the employees? What does it take to run this operation?
We have a big team. We have over 600 staff members and also over 300 caddies. So many of them are from the area, which is great. It's been a significant employer for the county. And also we are able to bring in others that are seeking either golf experience for their resume and move on, but many stay. Over 90% of our staff is right from here, from Coos and Curry and Douglas County, so people want to work here.
You know, it's interesting because they're very friendly. It's a genuine friendliness, which I thought was just wonderful. I mean, the hospitality is the most important part of any resort, correct?
Absolutely. Well, one of our lines is genuine, helpful, and friendly, and that goes all the way back from when we opened in the beginning with Josh and Mr. Kaiser. If that's number one. If someone is not that, then they might not get the job.
Okay, yeah, I've noticed everybody was just so genuine, just so nice, which is obviously such a plus. And as far as the caddies go, Don, you know, there are no golf carts here, unless, of course, you are handicapped or, you know, need a cart. I saw one or two out there earlier in the week, but you know, it's really a course where you really should take a caddy and know the nuances and learn the nuances of each course, and particularly the greens. It always helps when you have somebody, you know, helping with your reads here.
They make the experience to spend over roughly 4 hours with a guest and to help them, and the bond, the relationship that they create. They come back year after year after year and request that caddy that they've built that with. And you're right, it's walking only as it should be, or as it was meant to be. So it's really part of Lynx Golf, and it's you mentioned earlier, it's nice not to have real estate or cart pass and so forth. It's a very special experience.
Yes, I mean, golf as it's meant to be, right? That's one of the slogans of Bandon Dunes. And also, one of the little things I noticed, which I think is very important, there are wooden tees here, not plastic. Wooden tees, and I dislike plastic tees so much. So when I saw the wooden tees, I was very excited. Little thing, but very important, I think.
Yeah, many of the let's say golf course equipment or anything that we can do on the land here comes from the land. In other words, garbage cans, tee markers. We have over 2,500 acres here that we get to go out and find a tree that it may be fallen or just a special one that we choose. And then the team on site creates these things. So it is nice. And we're very aware of plastic and doing our part as much as we possibly can to limit the use of plastic.
Right. Well, that's important, all the environmental considerations as well. Talk a little bit about, you know, some of that. I know you're doing some work with the Wild Rivers Coastal Alliance, and monies from Bandon Preserve is raised for that. What is it, and what is Bandon Dunes doing about that?
So the Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, Mr. Kaiser created, he was the founder back in 2012, so all the net proceeds from the preserve, our par 3 golf course, goes to that as a grant-making department. And then it is funneled out into the community, and we look for economic solutions and also the overall for the community. So it's a great way to help the people in the area, and that's primarily Coos and Curry County.
Seriously impressive, and I congratulate you and your team and continued success. Thanks so much for being on Sports Interview.
Thank you very much, Ann.
My thanks to Michael Chupka at Bandon Dunes and my guests Jeff Simons, Ken Nice, and Don Crow, and to Delaney Heffner in the studio. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Be safe, be well. Don't forget to vote. And I'll talk to you next Saturday morning from 7-8 right here on Sports Interview with Ann LaGorrie.